You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Whoa, 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 ladies and gentlemen. The things I've been finding out, the dots I've been connecting lately, I'm going to impart to you. It's amazing how things go round and round and round. I've just found something from William Guy Carr's book that is extremely important and will connect dots between Satanism, the Jews, and many, many other things, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, etc., etc. I must say to you that it is amazing to me to see these things, these dots connected. It's just, you know, it's a timely thing. What I'm going through right now and everything that's happening, it's all of perfect timing. I can't explain it to you really, except that to put it in that way, it is perfect timing. And these messages are not by accident, I assure you. Obviously, you know, the timing is right. You know, it's funny how you can't plan these things. The Father has them planned, and you don't know what's going to happen from one week to the next. You know, I do want to continue on Isaiah, and we will, but this comes in at a time that interlocks with everything that's going on in the world, everything I've been teaching, and everything that I'm currently teaching in all the other shows. The second Rabbit Hole Radio Show came out yesterday, and I encourage you to listen to it. And I encourage you to neshab. Understand, with my shows, you will receive Bible teaching, but you will receive exposés, as you know. So don't worry, we'll get to Bible teaching as well, and you hear me doing that from, you know, here and there and here and there anyway. So it's important to me. The Father's Word is the most important thing. But we're going to connect some dots today that are going to really bring it home, bring it on home, as they say. So William Guy Carr's book is called The Pawns in the Game. And to me, it's a very interesting title because there are so many pawns in the game. I talk about the soldiers and how they're just pawns in the game. The chessboard, the grand chessboard of life. Chess is a Masonic game, and the world is the chessboard, let's say. Now, from his book, it's called, this section of the book is called The Luciferian Creed. Yes, you're hearing about the Luciferian Creed on Saxon's Creed. I suggest you settle yourself down and enjoy your beverage and begin to think, and please, by all means, do listen. Number one of the Luciferian Creed, where Yahweh requires a human being to prove it wishes to love and serve him voluntarily for eternity out of respect for his infinite perfections, Lucifer says, I will enslave the human race under a totalitarian dictatorship and deprive them of their physical and mental liberties, and so negate their ability to use their intellect and free will as Yahweh intended. Remember, anytime I see God, I change it to Yahweh, right? So this contradictory, confusing being, he says he wants to enslave the human race under a totalitarian dictatorship. Let me ask you a question. Is that what's happening in the world today? Are his children trying to enslave the human race under a totalitarian dictatorship and deprive them of their physical and mental liberties? And so negate their ability to use their intellect and free will as God intended. This is the purpose behind the United Nations, World Health, and World Mental Health Organizations, both of which international movements were started by Dr. Brock Chisholm of Canada. I'm telling you that this Luciferian doctrine permeates your world. You'll see. So what I was saying was about this, I forgot to finish that thought, was he's saying he will enslave the whole human race, but he tells them, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. How would that be enslaving human race? The human race. I can tell you how. If you do your own will instead of doing the Father's will and doing his commandments, you have locked yourself out of his kingdom. And you will be subjected to and part of the goats. See, it's a false freedom. It's a lie. It's an imitation of freedom. This do what thou wilt. Do your own thing. Yeah, I'm just doing my own thing, man, said the hippie. Yeah, I'm just doing my own thing. Well, there is a way that seems right to a man, and this way leads to death. Think about that, man. So, those who love death hate me. You know, I mean, the world is, I'm going to be talking about this on a fireside chat. It's in my mind how death, the world is obsessed with death. Because death is media driven. But let's move on to number two. Where the commandments of Yahweh make perfectly clear what he considers sin, Luciferians and their agents teach the inversion of the commandments of Yahweh. Pike and other high priests of the Luciferian creed state, everything Yahweh has made known to be displeasing to him is pleasing to Lucifer. Let's just stop right now. Because this is a trap. By writing this down, they've entrapped themselves. So if everything that Yahweh has been made to be known displeasing to him is pleasing to Lucifer, well, this proves without a doubt who Lucifer's children are, the Jews. Because everything that is done under the sun and promoted by the Jews is something that is displeasing to the Father in heaven. There is nothing that the Jew promotes that is whole and good and healthy. You understand? So what this tells you is there's a lockdown. They're locked in with their father, this Luciferian doctrine. I've just given you the simple answer right there. If you wanted to know who Lucifer's children are, it's just as easy as looking at their works in the world today. They promote everything that is displeasing to the Father. You know it's true. And this is, without question, no doubt in my mind, proof that they are the children of Lucifer. Of the devil. Number three, God's plan for, Yahweh's plan for creation required everything to be made different. There are no two leaves exactly alike, no two snowflakes. Ladies and gentlemen, the trap is laid. It is laid. Now, that's true diversity. That's the real diversity that the Father has made. There's no more diverse peoples than the white peoples of the world. But listen, the Luciferian ideology requires regimentation so that everything can be centralized and made as much alike as possible. Can you say the fable of equality? Can you say affirmative action? Can you say miscegenation, race mixing? Can you say the brown man? Listen, integration is the most typical example of this theory being put into practice. Integration does not mean simply that the public shall accept the principle that people of different races, colors, and creeds shall enjoy the same privileges and considerations as white people. Integration means to bring together parts so that they form one whole. E pluribus unum, out of many one. We're all one with the universe. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. One world, one government, one religion. So to bring parts so that they form one whole, to make up the, I would say instead of it W-H-O-L-E, it would be to form one whole that everything's getting sucked down into, to make up and complete as a whole. The Luciferian ideology requires that the human race be integrated absolutely so that reds, blacks, yellows, and whites be mixed into one vast conglomeration of humanity without any distinctive features, culture, race, racial traits, or other peculiarities. The UNESCO man. In other words, the brown man, right? Now, again, when you see Elias Levi's Baphomet, we see solve, which means to dissolve. And, of course, the other one. I always forget the other one. But, you know, basically, that's what it's talking about. To dissolve everything. Oh, coagulate. That's it. To coagulate everything into one mud people. To control thought so that nobody thinks any differently than anyone else. Total totalitarian rule over your thoughts, rule over your body, rule over your mind, rule over your finances, rule over your children, rule over history, rule over everything. Number four. Yahweh's plan requires that there shall be numerous worlds. The scripture speaks of the seventh heaven. 2 Samuel 22:8, Proverbs 8:27 through 29, and 2 Corinthians 12:2. They name the different choirs of angels, their nature, office, and characteristics. They tell us that even in each choir, every angel is higher or lower in scale than another. We are told it is possible for those in the lowest choirs to work their way up so they achieve higher status by merit, or descend down the scale because of lack of merit. Now, Nashab, the Luciferian ideology requires that there shall be only two classes. Can you say communism? One, those who govern, i.e. the holders of the light, the super intelligent beings, and two, those they enslave, the proletariat, in Orwellian terms, where Yahweh permits, encourages, and rewards individual initiative, Luciferianism does not tolerate it in any shape or form. Do we see evidence of this in our world? I guarantee we do. You must be able to. I'm telling you, you must be connecting dot after dot after dot. And I suggest that you listen to this show two or three times if you have the time. Better to listen to one quality show than to listen to 100 where the devil's just trying to waste your time. N100. So Luciferianism does not tolerate, but it tells you that you should tolerate. Do we see the evidence of two classes? Do you see the middle class disappearing in the world? Do you see the upper class or the holders of the light, this, I guess, super intelligent beings? That's sort of a, I would think it's a flattery of sorts. Do you see the evidence of the people that have the money are having more and more of the money and more and more of the money, and the divide between the two classes, which were three classes, the second class in the middle is disappearing? You do see evidence of that. I know you must, because I know I do. Number five. Yahweh insists that in order to ensure perfect peace and happiness in heaven, every soul he selects as one of his elect must have proved that it honestly and sincerely, without qualification or revocation, desires to love and serve Yahweh voluntarily out of respect for his infinite perfection for all eternity. It is to produce proof of this desire that we human beings are being tested so thoroughly. Yahweh doesn't intend that there shall be a second revolt in heaven. This goes right along with what I have been telling you. I find this amazing. I mean, I told you that the purpose of this test that we are going through is to find people, the Father's own offspring, that, you know, that will love him for himself. That if there were another Lucifer who tried to rebel, nobody would go with him. Because the Father is replacing those lost angels. That's something the Father gave me a very long time ago. And I didn't get it from anybody else. You see what it says? God, or Yahweh, doesn't intend that there shall be a second revolt in heaven. So this test, this trial by fire that is burning away the dross or the waste will leave a fine gold. You see, there's a copy, these Freemasons and Satanists, where they talk about a man being transformed from lead into gold. It's a copy of what the Father is doing. The Father is looking for fine gold that he can refine and replace the servants that were lost during this revolt in heaven. And he's not just going to replace them with anybody. He could just create angels out of rocks or angels out of thin air if he wished. But the ones that stayed with him obviously will stay with him forever. And so the ones that didn't will be replaced with those who want to stay with him forever. Like it's saying right here, Yahweh insists that in order to ensure perfect peace and happiness in heaven, every soul he selects as one of his elect must have proved that it honestly, or he honestly, or she honestly, and sincerely, without qualification or revocation, desires to love and serve Yahweh voluntarily out of respect for his infinite perfections of all for all eternity. It is to produce proof of this desire that we human beings are tested, are being tested so thoroughly. So it says, Luciferian, on the other hand, says that permanent peace shall be assured by the king despot, exercising absolute despotism over his subjects. The Luciferian protocols, hello, say the Luciferian totalitarian dictatorship, when established on this earth, will have at its head a king despot whose will is to be enforced by satanic despotism. Just for the sake of the inquiring mind, let's say, let's look up the term despotism. Well, okay, I'll do it. My, my. Okay, the exercise of absolute power. And does not absolute power corrupt absolutely? Well, not in Yahweh's case, but in man's case. To exercise absolute power, especially in a cruel and oppressive way, the king's arbitrary despotism. Synonyms. Tyranny, dictatorship, totalitarianism, authoritarianism, absolute rule, absolutism, oppression, repression, suppression, autocracy, monocracy, autarky. You get the idea? They're trying to say in here that the antonym of these things are democracy, which is a lie. Because law, this democracy leads to tyranny. They said it was an antonym. You see, but democracy is a lie, and it leads, it is what is enabling these Luciferian Jews and Satanists all around the world to bring forth this totalitarian dictatorship. It's democracy. And, of course, the money. Okay, so back to the article. Number 6. Where Yahweh's plan required love to be the creative and charity, the governing force in nature, the Luciferian creed says lust shall be the creative force and right or might the governing force. Rights, get it? Rights. Always this devil and his offspring and those who are brainwashed into their ideologies are always talking about rights, human rights, women's rights, man's rights, civil rights. You see? Isn't it interesting? Those rights are all declared and directed at Yahweh himself. See, they don't want to be ruled by him. They don't want to go by what he goes by. And notice again where he requires love to be the creative and charity to be the governing force in nature. The creative force should be lust by the Luciferian creed, which is something that the Father does not like. Notice again, it's the antithesis, but the lust shall create, be the creative force. Like, lust is the creative force in money. Lust is the creative force, is what he wants the creative force to be to create human beings, so to speak. You know, this where they keep on telling you how you should be with somebody of another race and all that, and it produces lust, and then the procreation happens and everything is destroyed. And right or might, the governing force. Think about that. So either, you know, you do what we say, either you're with us or you're against us. And we have rights. We have the right to this. We have the right to be queer. We have the right to be homosexual. We have the right to be right, even when we're wrong. Yeah. Number 7. Where Yahweh ordered that each class of his creatures on this earth shall increase and multiply, each according to his kind, the Luciferian ideology requires that the final stage of the conspiracy, that in the final stage of the conspiracy, only the governing body shall have the liberty to enjoy the pleasures, lusts of the flesh, and the right to gratify their carnal desires. All others are to be made into human cattle and enslaved physically, mentally, and spiritually in order to ensure permanent peace and social security. Procreation will be strictly limited to types and numbers determined scientifically, as sufficient to fill the requirements to the state, which is now the God. According to Bertrand Russell on page 49 and 51 of his book, through 51, the impact of science on society, less than 5% of males and 30% of females will be selected from the goyim. Hello? Can you connect a few dots there? Oh, this is a hoax. This is a hoax. Sure it is. Sure it is a hoax. Yeah. Sure it is. So it said that we'll be selected from the goyim to be used for breeding purposes, and reproduction will be achieved by artificial insemination. See, this isn't the real insemination. It will be artificial insemination practiced on an international scale. Investigation has proved that experiments are now being conducted in both Canada and the United States to determine if semen of the human males cannot be preserved and kept fertile indefinitely, the same as the semen taken from prize bulls. Recent discoveries have made it possible to keep semen taken from bulls indefinitely by freezing quickly to a temperature of approximately 130 degrees below zero. Already huge banks have been established in which several million samples of graded semen are stored. Orders received for a particular type or strain can be flown to any part of the world. Smaller banks are now being established in suitable locations to serve the needs of cattle-raising states. This statement is fact, not fiction. Now, let me comment on this. You see that when you see the movie, and I encourage you to see this movie, if you order a drive from me, I will put it on there for you if you want. But it's an old movie, and it's called 1948. I mean, George Orwell's, 1984, excuse me. And it's just unbelievable what is on there. I remember in one scene, see, people would know that the state would be watching them, and they would go to meetings where they said masturbation will not be allowed anymore, and talking about exactly what's being talked about here, that artificial insemination will be the only way of procreation from now on. And the people would stand up and they'd be clapping, no more masturbation, no more, yeah, we won't be able to have the lust of the flesh or the right to gratify our carnal desires. Only those in the upper government and who decide that they can do it can do it. See, what this is the Luciferian ideology personified in this book, 1984, and in this movie. The two classes, everything that you see. You see, I've found out about something when I was reading, I've been reading the Bloodlines of the Illuminati, and it was talking about this woman who was of the, I forget which, the Todd bloodline, I believe it was. And she went to Scotland. She didn't want to, most of her family wanted to start giving up Satanism, but she didn't want to do that. So she went to Scotland to study the elfin way, or the elven way, excuse me, it's called. Let me just go to that for a moment so you can see, because I'm going to tie it into a whole bunch of things right here. It's going to really blow you away. Okay. The Elven Way, or it was called the Elven Path. All right, it's E-L-V-E-N, the Elven Path. Listen to this, because if this doesn't connect all the dots for you, I don't know what will. The Elven Way, the magical path of the Shining Ones. Hello. The Elven Way, quote unquote. This freak, this devil-ridden freak, wrote this book called The Elven Way about the Elven Path. The Elven Way describes the mystical, magical mystery tour. No, I'm kidding. The mystical, magical, spiritual path of the elf folk and their connection to the Shining Ones, those supra-dimensional beings who are our guides, guardians, ancient kindred, and the source of our enlightenment. This is high elven spirituality and magic written for advanced elven adepts and magical folk of all kinds. Hmm? Doesn't that sound good to you? Well, did you know that you were even being taught the Elven Way already through Hollywood? Oh, yes, yes. Even Gulliver's Travels, now that I think of it, would be teaching you about the Elven Way. But this Tolkien, this Lord of the Ring thing, is all about the Elven Way. Let me read just a little bit of this particular thing for you. There's a little poem about the Elven Way, and it says, I'll read the poem to you anyway. It's out of the J.R.R. Tolkien Poems of the Ring. Actually, when he wrote the book, it was called The Lord of the Ring, not The Lord of the Rings. I didn't know that. In western lands beneath the sun, the flowers may rise in spring. The trees may bud, the waters run, the merry finches sing. Or there may be 'tis cloudless night and swaying beaches bare, the elven stars as jewels white amid their branching hair. Though here at journey's end I lie, in darkness buried deep, beyond all towers strong and high, belong all mountains steep. All, above all shadows rides the sun, the stars forever dwell. I will not say the day is done, nor bid the stars farewell. Whoever wrote this poem really knew how to rhyme and knew how to do it rhythmically, which I'm very well-skilled in myself. I have written some poetry and will write some poetry, I guess, in the future, but only time will tell. So it says in this article, we will present a piece of the great work of J.R.R. Tolkien, philologist, poet, writer. Tolkien was one of the best writers of his century. He was a friend of C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book which was by many considered as the best book of the 20th century, The Lord of the Ring. But if this book had a great influence on the literature since it was published, we will not present it. We will look at Tolkien's work in poetry and, moreover, within his Middle Earth work. The Middle Earth is the place where his stories take place. If you want to understand all of Tolkien's work, you have to know one thing. Tolkien invented several languages, and most appear in the Lord of the Ring trilogy. It is to say that Tolkien wrote a book in the way we have an opportunity to use his language. Reading these poems, we notice Tolkien loved nature. All of his poems are tainted by his deep love of the sea and trees. He used to like both the sky and mountains, but it is not so often that he speaks about mankind, which seems to despair him. These people can't even, they don't know how to even write English. I mean, there's so many misspellings here and so many things that are crazy. In all the poems from The Lord of the Ring, Tolkien tries with success to draw the life of those who live there. You can see in some poems the life of the elves, the elven way, or the life of the hobbits. See, so let me just stop right there. You've been being taught the Luciferian doctrine and Satanism through the movies like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings. The Baal of the Ring. You know, these things dazzle the eyes and tickle the ears and everything, but you don't realize what's being taught. One thing that I had found out when I did watch one or two of these Hobbits movies was there were a people who had big hook noses. And they had no land of their own. And they were being persecuted by all the other peoples of elfdom. Like by orcs and all kinds of different things. See, I could read right through it. I've been meaning to get to this for you, but there's just so much to learn and so much to talk about that it's on a long list. Let me tell you something about researching, is that when you research, you bring up many more things during a piece of research to research, so that your reading keeps mounting up higher and higher and higher. You know what I mean? It's a never-ending thing. So that's what happens, is there's just so much for us to understand. But this is all important for you to connect these dots. Because whether it's Harry Potter or Star Wars, where the little elf with the pointed ears is teaching the Jedi, is this not so? You know what I'm trying to say to you? Filthy, dirty elven elf. All right. So here you are, and now we've just connected so many dots. So he says he used his poems to describe his character as Gil-galad, Frodo, Bilbo, Mithrander, aka Gandalf, and so on. Isn't it funny how Gandalf's a queer too in real life and looks like Ron Paul, like as if he was his, it was really Ron Paul who is this fellow, which I saw somebody say is true, and it certainly kind of, it's freaky, but it looks true. If they're not the same thing, they're certainly related. So by reading these poems, you can learn more about the universe, the Middle Earth, his legends, and his characters. He painted the land and he made telling us his history, the legend of this earth, of his earth. Yet it would be false to say that it's pure imagination, because what Tolkien did is a magical thing that not so many before him successed to do. Were success. You know, whoever wrote this, this is translated from another language, obviously. He made this world breathe and live like a fire in his hearth, burning forever, because he will be forever remembered. Oh, no, he won't. I already talked about that. Tolkien in his poems brought emotions like sadness and love. He used to draw farewells between his character and such a strength that all the readers can be caught in his words. This is an example of it. The poem is called Gil-galad, Who Was the Last King of the Elves. I'll just read this quickly. Gil-galad was an elven king. Of him the harpers sadly sing. The last whose realm was fair and free, between the mountains and the sea. His sword was long, his lance was keen, his shining helm afar was seen. The countless stars of heaven's field were mirrored in his silver shield. But long ago he rode away, and where he dwelleth none can say. For into darkness fell his star, in Mordor where the shadows are. This is just demonology. You see, with these elves, they have pointed ears. Need you know any more? So let's go back to the Luciferian Creed and continue on. But I think we just connected a whole lot of dots, didn't we? We're bringing that right up to today. See, I had told you that it talks about the Force in Star Wars. That was always a satanic term talking about their God, the Force. The Force be with you. And of course, these Satanists and witches and Wiccans all talk about the forces, which are air, water, fire, and earth. Fire is a force, folks. If you don't believe it, it can jump, like I said, but if you can't get very near it when it's burning. It's a force to be reckoned with. And you can see that water in the form of a tsunami can be a force to be reckoned with. And you can see that air is a force to be reckoned with, etc., etc. So that's pretty amazing stuff. We're on number 8 now. Let me just take a sip of coffee. And my, the time does fly. Perhaps we should take a break. Maybe I'll just get out a song or something. I'll just play my song from the former show I used to do. Let's take a break and come back.
Something's come between us.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show. A radio show from davidjamesboston.com. Now, as I was saying before the break, I was talking about how these Hobbit movies have these people. Now, the first thing you see in one of these movies is a dragon that's laying in a layer of gold all over him, and the dragon's head comes out of the gold and so on and so forth. Being the father, this is the father of these people. You see, these people had big hook noses, these particular hobbits. And if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't have noticed that. So that was my first clue. I said, what's going on with all these noses here? But when I heard that these were people that didn't have a land of their own, hello, I mean, come on, you get it? And they were being persecuted by all the other peoples of the Middle Earth, let's say, right? Who is that? Who says that they're a persecuted people and they don't have a land of their own? They're just trying to pretend they have. They not only pretend they have a land of their own, but they pretend they're a persecuted people. Who? And their father is a dragon. Who might that? And they have big hook noses. Let me see if I can connect this dot. Let me see. I don't know. It's pretty complicated. It's the Jews. Oh, thank you. Well, I'm sorry that I had to do that, but that's who it is. And so these things are being brainwashed into children and people so that while they teach them Satanism and the elven way and all these different magical, mystical things, they're also getting their agenda down people's throats. And I believe Star Wars is the same exact thing. Listen, they're trying to tell you that Darth Vader is evil, but Luke is good. His son, Luke Skywalker. That's what the swastika does. It walks across the sky. And so, and that's what the sun does, you see, because the swastika is a sun sign. So, in other words, the father is supposedly like the devil, right? And the son, he's on the good side. He's not part of the empire. He's part of the rebels or the people that are against the empire. See, I believe that Darth Vader is supposed to be Yahweh himself. And of course, they put a Negro in that thing to represent him. And Luke Skywalker and the demons are all getting together, and they're rebelling against the establishment, the empire. See, they portray what Yahweh does as evil. I'm not saying, you know, that you should look at this and agree with me, but I'm telling you that they look at heaven as being evil, and everything good they look at as being evil, and everything that is evil they look at as being good. And so therefore, they paint Yahweh in a picture like Darth Vader, let's say. Now, I'm not positive about this because I really need to go through these movies now that I'm much more aware than I used to be. And I haven't watched these movies in a long time. But I'm telling you that's probably the premise of it. I'm not positive at this point. That's just an afterthought after many years of watching these movies so many years ago. So let's get back to what we're reading. Number 8. Under Yahweh's plan, reproduction of the human species was and is intended to be the most holy and sacred function performed by a male and female, joined together in one flesh for the duration of their mortal lives. According to Yahweh's plan, the primary motive to indulge in sexual intercourse is to procreate another human body, into which Yahweh can infuse a soul which he wishes to give the opportunity of learning to know him and love him, and to will to serve him voluntarily for all eternity. Theologians admit that in giving the ability of reproduction, in accordance to his will, Yahweh gave us powers not even enjoyed by the angels. They are all both good and bad created beings. The powers Yahweh gave to human beings caused those angels who had joined Lucifer to become jealous. That is why Lucifer and or Satan decided to follow up God's plan as far as procreation of the human species is concerned. Now, let me say one thing before I continue. You know, I thought of the possibility that the Father could have just made it so that nobody could procreate with another race. But you see, the problem is they could still fornicate. So it really wouldn't make too much of a difference. You see, the penalty for race mixing and having a child is much more violent and much more in the arena of ramifications, that if you couldn't procreate, then everybody would just be having wild sex with all these other people. So I understand why the Father didn't do that. But I thought of, while he could have just made it so that that couldn't happen, so we wouldn't have all these hybrids in the world. But you see, I just thought that out right for you right there. That's why he didn't do that, because it wouldn't. He wanted there to be a great ramification to doing something like this. And of course, the great ramification doesn't end with the offspring. We see that these race mixers are being killed left and right. And in many cases, the offspring, the hybrid offspring, is being killed as well. So there are great ramifications for race mixing. Great ramifications. And there's more than I just spoke about, like destroying your bloodline, etc., etc., etc. So, I'll continue now with the article. This is the reason, or with the Luciferian deal. This is the reason women have had to present themselves for purification after the birth of a baby since as far back as we've been able to inquire. This is why baptism was instituted as a sacrament. This explains why women are required to cover up their heads in churches. Because Satan fouled up Yahweh's plan, human beings who descended from Adam and Eve are children of the flesh until they are born again spiritually. Okay, I don't agree about the born again thing. We're born from above. But notice that it says that human beings who are descended from Adam and Eve, which would be the Adamic race, right? Number 9. Oh, number 9. Number 9. Number 9. The devil's number. Yahweh's plans say that all human beings should love and be charitable towards their neighbors. The word neighbor, as used by Christ, means a person, a man or woman, I should say, who won't do another harm, but rather will go out of his way to do a good turn, even though the recipient be a stranger. The Luciferian doctrine says that in order to impose absolute power by satanic despotism, those who are selected to rule must first prove they are utterly devoid of human sentiment. I want you to think about, we're going to connect some dots right now. In other words, They do the cremation of care at the Bohemian Grove to callous their hearts and be devoid of human sentiment when they do all the evil that they do. Now, I want you not to be confused, because I talk about keeping your feelings in check and your body, under your own rule. So when I tell you about feelings, that I tell you that you should not be ruled by your feelings. I didn't tell you you shouldn't have any feelings whatsoever. Feelings are part of the human experience and are a very important part. That's why the demons want to get inside people so that they can have the feelings and the sensations. However, we must have control over our bodies. We must have control over our feelings, because if they get out of balance, bad things happen. But this devil, he wants people to be utterly devoid of human sentiment. In Star Trek, you had an elven creature who was the father of Spock. He had pointed ears like Spock does. You talk about the elven way. And he had a white mother. So he was an hybrid. But he was superior to other humans, even though he was an hybrid, because he was only going by, most of the time, logic. He was devoid of human sentiment, correct? Isn't that interesting? Although he would lose control from time to time, and he could play a musical instrument, or he could feel a feeling about Jim of love, because they wanted to make sure that this hybrid character was lovable. If he was just a cruel being that was devoid of any human sentiment, the audience wouldn't have accepted him as likable. Am I reaching you? You see, so according to the, I'll go with this now again, we'll back on here. According to the pronouncement of Albert Pike, this ridding themselves of human emotions must be carried out by men selected to rule to the extent that they don't even feel love or sympathy or any sentimental feeling whatsoever towards members of the opposite sex. Did you just hear that? Do our women hate us now? And are we beginning to dislike them vehemently because of what how they've been modified? In other words, we love the women that God made, that Yahweh made, but these satanically modified women really have caused us to dislike them and to distrust them and to not be even one. It said, there was an article that said that 60% of men don't even want to be in the same room alone with a woman because they know that what that could mean. Like Mike Pence talks about that. I couldn't agree with them more. I didn't want it to be that way, but I've come to the point where I'm realizing that it's basically over. You can't just let yourself be in the same room with a woman alone and expect anything good to come from it. But this is exactly what this devil wants. Listen to it. See, this is what has taken place in our world. Remember when I read on the first Rabbit Hole Radio show about how trust is an important part of any society, and that without it, the society will just die. If we can't trust one another, what do we have together? So listen to this again. Try to listen carefully. According to the pronouncement of Albert Pike, this ridding themselves of human emotions must be carried out by men selected to rule to the extent that they don't even feel love or sympathy or any sentimental feeling whatsoever towards members of the opposite sex. Pike was involved in homosexuality and said that he had a personal relationship with Lucifer. I don't know if it was a sexual relationship, but it was a personal relationship where he could actually call on him and he would appear to Pike. Pike ruled that women initiated into lodges of adoption should be made common property. He said members of the Palladian rite should use them frequently and without passion, but solely to gratify their sexual urges without allowing love or sentiment. See, that's lust. You see what I'm saying? And so this, you know, I'm just translating it all for you so you can see how these things even fit together. You must be connecting dots within this Luciferian doctrine now, correct? The Palladian rite, Paladin. So he said that they should use them frequently and without passion, but solely to gratify their sexual urges without allowing love or sentiment, which leads so many human hearts astray, he says, entering into their sexual relationships. Thus, he says, men shall enchain women while obtaining absolute control of their own human weaknesses. So we see that everything that Yahweh considers good, Lucifer said is evil, says is evil. Everything God, Yahweh, considers strength of character, Luciferians consider weakness or weakness of character. For example, mercy, right? They use that as a weapon against us. It's a good attribute. And is it true that that's what's happening today? Does not the scriptures warn us? Do not the scriptures warn us about those that call evil good and good evil? Hello? Number 10. Yahweh's plan requires that human beings care for the sick, the disabled, the imprisoned, and all aged, all the aged. What do we do today? See, the church used to do this thing, but now the children of the devil turned the medical establishment and this care for the sick, the disabled, and imprisoned, and all aged into a business that is very cold-hearted, and this business is the third largest killer in the world. How's that for some dot connection? The Luciferian ideology insists that all goyim who become unstable, unable, or unfit to serve the state efficiently shall be destroyed. This diabolical principle is being made acceptable in the minds of innocent human beings by being presented as mercy killing, the scientific name for which is euthanasia. You see euphemisms being used, you see? Now, I must point out one thing. This is exactly what Hitler was doing. And usually I don't find much evil in what Hitler was doing. But obviously the father's plan was to have sick and disabled people so that that would be part of proving that we care, right? So in other words, if you were trying to eliminate all that, that would be the Luciferian ideology, wouldn't it? I stop so you can think. You see? So that certainly was part of the Luciferian ideology. See, though I believe that Germany and Hitler were on the right course in many ways, this is certainly not one of them. Number 11. Yahweh's plan for civilized society is based on the principle that two human beings of opposite sex shall establish a home and raise a family. Notice that this is number 11. What do the Luciferians say about the family? What do the protocols say about the family? What are the goals, the 21 goals of the Illuminati? What is the goal of this devil? To destroy the family. What does television do by showing dysfunctional families throughout your whole life. They contrive realities that were not going to be there otherwise. So what does Luciferians say about Yahweh's plan that two beings of the opposite sex shall establish a home and raise a family? Luciferians say that the destruction of the family and home is absolutely essential to the success of their conspiracy. It is said, and has been said many times, that the family is the backbone of America. If you were to break the family, you would be breaking the backbone of America. When you break your backbone, that's it, you're paralyzed. There's nothing can be done for you almost at that point, except from the Father. Number 12, Yahweh's plan required the parents to provide for their offspring and to educate them in Yahweh's holy will and the facts of life. What happens to people that want to educate their children these days in accordance with Yahweh's plan? The state tries to take the children away. They're totally against the parents educating their children in Yahweh's holy will and the facts of life, like the Jews are the enemy of the people. Luciferians say the state shall regulate births and raise the children born as a result of planned selective breeding. They insist that only the state has the right to educate. Forgive the use of the word by such devils in human form. Those they intend shall serve the state. Number 13. Yahweh's plan intends to elevate the dignity of man until he achieves a high degree and high degree of spiritual perfection. The scriptures tell us that we can qualify for the highest vacant seats in heaven. I think that goes along with what I've been telling you, doesn't it? Now, everything this plan says, I don't take it as gospel, but most of it fits. Luciferianism is insistent that every human be reduced to its lowest possible level. Let me give you an example of that. Equality. The lie of equality has caused many of Yahweh's children, who are the Adamic white people of this world, to be brought down to the level of the beasts of the field, the two-legged beasts of the field. Many of our people today are living in that level, and spiritually they're even below that level. You see, what that means is what I've been telling you all along, is that the Jew was born spiritually dead from the womb. And it's the purpose of the Jew to corrupt man and corrupt him utterly. In other words, to spiritually kill him like the Jew is himself, which is the most subtle beast, two-legged beast of the field. So that goes, everything this doctrine here has to do with the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, or Satanism, or Judaism, and what the Jews have been doing for a very long time. You can certainly see this, can't you? Is this not amazing? I mean, it is unbelievable what is going on here. Listen to this. It was to further this diabolical theory that Cromwell's levelers, quote-unquote, drove in the thin edge of the wedge. Today it has advanced to the stage where women have demanded the right, there we are again, the right to govern, or the right, right? Now connect those dots within this Luciferian doctrine. Today it has advanced to the stage where women have demanded the right to adopt the same immoral codes as men, the right to smoke, to do everything that does not elevate them above the filth, the dirt, and slime of decadent human nature. Yahweh sets up chastity as a virtue. The world, I will comment, tells you that the more lovers you've had, the more virtue you have. Lucifer says we must be promiscuous, to demonstrate our godship. Christ proved by his devotion and love and respect for his earthly mother, Mary, that Yahweh intended motherhood to be the greatest of all vocations. Christ's relationship to his earthly mother and Mary's love and devotion to her son should tell us that despite the fall of Eve, he still wants woman to be a being of beauty, charm, and grace, full of love, charity, and affection. He just wants women to be real mothers, not just human incubators who accidentally conceive due to human error. Luciferianism is determined to drag womanhood down into the gutter and to the level of the natural state of the lower beasts of creation. Hello? What did I just say? Now, I told you many times that women had a wonderful place in our world, and the Jew has destroyed that by modifying them. That's why we don't like these modified women, because they're not beings of beauty, charm, grace, full of love, charity, and affection, and real mothers. They sure are real mothers, but not the real mothers that Yahweh intended. Fourteen, Yahweh provided everything we require for our use and benefit. He ordered that we use all things in moderation. The Luciferian ideology says, but doesn't intend, that man shall be a law unto himself and do as he pleases. You see, isn't that so contradictory that he says that, you know, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, but then he wants to enslave everybody and control them completely from head to toe? Isn't that interesting? Number 15. God's plan, or Yahweh's plan of creation, placed everything he created in perfect balance. Today, ladies and gentlemen, before I finish what the statement says, the world is completely out of balance. Nature's out of balance. The soil is out of balance. People's minds are out of balance. Justice is out of balance. Mercantilism and merchants are dealing with false weights and measures which are not balanced. Evil is way outweighing good and way out of balance. The whole world is way out of balance. So let's continue. Those who are developing the Luciferian conspiracy to its ultimate objective are doing their level best to put God's creation, or Yahweh's creation, out of balance. And the human race pays the penalty for the sins of presumption committed by Luciferians. You see, they're causing our people to be spiritually killed. And when I tell you these things, I'm telling you because it's a dot connector. They want you to eat pig, to pollute your temple, your body, to make it so that the Holy Spirit cannot inhabit your body. They want you to be, your body to be out of balance so that it can have many sicknesses. They want your mind to be out of balance because then you could clearly think and use rational, you could think rationally, you could think with common sense, you could perceive. They want your mind to be out of balance. They put drugs in the water system. They do all kinds of things. They spray chemtrails in the sky. and all kinds of crazy things to put you out of balance. Not only to put your spirituality out of balance, put your body out of balance, your mind out of balance. And that's, these things all connect right in this Luciferian doctrine. If you go back and listen to this a couple of times, I'd say two or three times, you'll really be able to understand what I've been telling you through this whole thing. I'm not saying you don't already. You could. You could understand it better than me, but I don't know. I can't say. Only you know these things. So the article goes on and it says, we could go on and on proving that Luciferianism is diametrically opposed to God's plan, Yahweh's plan for the rule of creation. The point we hope we have made in this, the Luciferian ideology has been drawn up to appeal to men who consider themselves intellectual giants. Lucifer knows that his totalitarian ideology is wrong. When he occupies the highest throne in heaven, and was subordinate to Yahweh alone, his pride convinced him that if he set up his own kingdom and ruled it with absolute despotism, every aspect and phase of his dominion would have to work peacefully, efficiently, and economically. He used his supernatural powers to force the hand of Yahweh God. Well, I wouldn't say that. Because Yahweh derives pleasure only from those of his creatures who love to serve him voluntarily. Because of their respect for his infinite perfections, he had to let Lucifer go to his eternal damnation or change the principle on which he had established his rule. Emphasis added. It's really weird to grow up in this world and think that the world had good intentions for you and that you could be free and you could be free to pursue your dreams, but you see, your dreams weren't your own. It's just a very, very strange thing to come to the realization of these things. I could read this to you, I suppose I will. Professor Pitram Sorokin of Harvard University published an exposure of this angle of the Luciferian conspiracy in a book entitled The American Sex Revolution. The author states that perverted sexual behavior plays a major part in modern U.S. political life and that sex bribery and blackmail are now prevalent as monetary corruption. He states, sexually infamous persons or their proteges, are being appointed to ambassadorships and other high offices. Profligates, something. Wow, that's a... Let me see. Let's look up this word, profligates. Never heard of it before. Let's just see quickly. Okay. A licentious, dissolute person. Synonyms, libertine, debauchee, degenerate, reprobate, a profligate. So remember that. A rake, a lecher, a roux, loose liver, dissolute person. Sybarite, voluptuary, sensualist. Very interesting. A profligate. Profligates sometimes become popular mayors of metropolises, members of cabinets, or leaders of political parties. Among our other political officials, there is a vast legion of profligates, both heterosexual and homosexual. Our morals have changed so notably that continence, chastity, and faithfulness are increasingly viewed as oddities. Professor Sorokin's book didn't get the same kind or volume of publicity as did Dr. Kinsley's books dealing with the alleged moral practices of males and females. According to Satanism, It is perfectly right and proper to encourage moral turpitude in all classes of society. Turpitude is wickedness. Let me just look it up for you. I've already looked it up because I didn't really know what moral turpitude. It's depravity. It's morals of the lowest kind, let's say. But let's look it up anyway. So it says that according to Satanism, it is perfectly right and proper to encourage moral turpitude in all classes of society and all levels of government by convincing the public that abnormal sex behavior is normal and that the moral code accepted by civilized nations based on the commandments of Yahweh and teachings of the Holy Scriptures is old-fashioned and introduced by church and state for selfish purposes. What is moral turpitude? Let's just quickly take a look. Turpentine. Turpitude. That's what I said, depravity. I remembered it. Wickedness, moral wickedness, moral depravity. Synonyms. Wickedness, immorality, depravity, corruption. Oh, that word again. Corruptness. Vice, degeneracy, evil baseness, baseness meaning at the lowest level, iniquity, sinfulness, vileness, moral turpitude. You get it? Vileness, rare, nefariousness, flagitiousness, acts of moral turpitude. So, very interesting message this week. So it says, but behind the building up of a wrong conception of sex and its purposes as intended by Yahweh, our Creator, is the satanic principle that the best revolutionary is a youth absolutely devoid of morals, quote unquote. When Lenin stated this, as recorded in Pawns in the Game, he only confirmed that other Satanists had stated what other Satanists had stated 100 times previously. It is Satanism, as it is direct from the top, which is responsible for the increase in juvenile delinquency. But those selected by governments of the world to investigate this problem invariably give every cause other than the right one. I discussed these issues with a top-level official of the Department of Health and Welfare in Canada. He literally snorted, "Well, what do you suggest we do? Clean every homosexual out of civil service and throw them in prison where they can indulge their queer ideas of pleasure to their heart's desire? Many of them are brilliantly minded men." Brilliant, get it again? They're illuminated. "When on the job, they are efficient and work long hours." See, the ends justify the means to this snorting character. "You seem to forget Oscar Wilde was a homosexual." Oh, well, that makes it all right. Sure. "Stop trying to save the human race. The vast majority aren't worth the time or the trouble. Most of them will be better off if they are forced to live under a totalitarian dictatorship. They will then get what the government decides is good for them." Isn't that wonderful? Don't you agree? What a world we're living in, man. This is Guy Carr talking, you know, with different and making different comments. So it's just, I'll just finish with this one here. "When in the hospital in 1945, I delved and dug deeper and deeper with the cooperation of one of Canada's leading librarians until I was able to learn about the double lives men like Weishaupt and Pike had led." Weishaupt. Yes. "But although I continued studying and reading, it was not until 1956, after Pawns in the Game and The Red Fog is another book he wrote, had been published, that I finally realized that the Jews, or the Illuminati, whose secret plot and intentions I had exposed, were controlled at the top by the synagogue of Satan." Let me translate that. "We're controlled at the top by the Jews." It wasn't until I was given information regarding Pike's dual personality that I was able to dig up proof that the synagogue of Satan is controlled by the high priests of the Luciferian creed. Judaism, Judaism. Once I had penetrated this secret, it became obvious that the wars and revolutions which plague the world today are part and parcel of the Luciferian conspiracy, and that all aspects of the world revolutionary movement are part of that conspiracy, emphasis added. You get it? You know, I will make this comment now, right at the end of the show here, is Brown Brothers and Harriman and other Jewish organizations funded Hitler because they wanted the land in Palestine and they wanted a war. They kept prodding him. He didn't want to go to war, but they kept prodding him, and they set this up by stealing Germany's land and forcing their people to live under bad situations. And in Poland, they used Poland to keep prodding him because they wanted to cause this war. But he didn't have the funding for the war, so the Jews had to provide the funding for the war. Because this is the only way they could destroy the last bastion in Christianity in Europe, which is Germany. Or was Germany. And so, don't be surprised that Hitler was supported by Jews with money. There could be no war without the support. Just as in America, there could have been no World War I or World War II without the central bank mechanism. You know, if there's one thing I know, you've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.